week, I mentioned how I felt led to preach a little bit on perseverance and persistence, something the Bible talks a ton about, and you'll hear a few verses this morning. And last week, we talked a little bit about how we persist or persevere in our message, looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. This week, which is a bit of a vision message or fall launch, kind of just an update on where we're at as a church, I want to briefly talk about how we persevere in our worship together with an eye toward this next season we're entering into. So my title is simply, The Church Will Persevere. And, you know, the fact that you're here this morning means that you have and are persevering. You could have, you know, given up meeting together, as the Bible warns us not to, and, you know, put your faith and church community kind of on hold until it's more convenient, but here you are. You've been willing to do things differently. Worship around tables in the multi-purpose room, worshiping in the sanctuary here, having to keep your distance, maybe having to, you know, sit alone and forsaking hugs and fellowship time over coffee, wearing a mask so you can sing, but you've persevered and haven't let it stop you. And we've persevered because we realize that the Christian life is full of trials and surprises and difficulties. But the key, according to the Bible, is how we respond to those trials and whether or not we persevere. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, as well as verse 19, where Jesus is talking to the churches, and he tells them some of the things they need to work on, but he also compliments them about some of the things that he's encouraged by. And one thing he says, compliments the churches on, is how they have persevered through tough times, meaning it is meaningful to God when we persevere. He notices. Jesus knows our faith actually grows stronger, more mature and complete when we persevere through difficult and hard times. And make no mistake, this, of course, is a great trial we're facing. It's a shaking, if you will, of believers and of the church. And how we respond together says a lot about who we are and where our hope lies and what we prioritize and value. And so how have we responded as a church? Well, not perfectly by any means. We've stumbled along at times together, finding our way. But I do think we can say we have persevered. We have not given up. And looking back, as hard as it's been, I believe that we've grown stronger, closer, and become more resilient and mature as we continue to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So here's a look back at how we have persevered over the last 6 months and to hopefully encourage us to continue to persevere as we enter another season together.
2020 has thrown a lot at us, but we believe the church will and must persevere. Since COVID disrupted our lives and the corporate worship we were used to, we have found ways to persevere as the church. We met online, worshiped in our living rooms, kitchens, and anywhere else. We connected in our virtual lobby time to say hello and to keep up with each other. We prayed from a distance and we prayed over phones and video screens. We preached and prayed in front of fountains, rivers, oceans, waterfalls, and even among some bears. We gathered in driveways and helped those without technology to watch services get set up. When we opened back up, things were different, but we were happy to be back. We made adjustments. We worshiped in the morning, in the evening, midweek, and online. We worshiped around tables and families. We met outside. We worshiped in God's good creation. We baptized in the ocean and in our church backyard. We sang, worshiped, and preached the word under the hot sun, in heavy rain, under tents, and through smoke. Through it all, we persevered. We celebrated new births and mourned those who passed away. We cared for each other by checking in on one another regularly, bringing meals and sending thousands of dollars of grocery gift cards to those who needed them. We cleaned up each other's homes and yards. We bought $2,500 of groceries for our local food bank. We provided full Easter dinner for 9 families in need and 55 turkey trays for others. As a church, we decided we would not be shaken. COVID-19 would not defeat us. We would persevere because that's what the church does and has always done. Our methods change. Our message and hope remains the same. For we know how the story ends. Jesus will reign and love will endure in the end. Therefore, let us not grow weary, church. We will march on, not for our sakes, but for the sake of Jesus and his glorious church.
What a great timepiece that we'll have for years to come. Remembering these 6 months, I get some goosebumps and a little teary-eyed when I watch that video there. And we'll post it, and you can share it with friends, people in the community, encourage them. But, you know, I get a little emotional just because these are things we will remember forever. The way we persevered in our faith and in worship in the midst of a pandemic, how it helped us grow in our vision, something that guides us as a church, is that we want to be a family of fully devoted children of God who are fully mature in Jesus Christ, fully alive in the Holy Spirit, living as God intends and loving as God loves. And we're learning to do that better through a pandemic. And there's no doubt in Scripture the way we grow in our devotion and maturity and life in the Spirit is most often through trials and suffering. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "Consider it pure joy." Goes along with what Lydia was just talking about. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work," meaning don't give up, "so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And so we're going to continue on in perseverance as a church. And here's a bit of our plan for the fall, just as we kind of reset, that as you already know, we're going to continue what we're calling the general worship service at 11 a.m. and 4 p.m., with the 4 p.m. moving inside to the sanctuary, but still with quite a bit of time between the services and all the areas get cleaned, you know, droplets can fall, all that kind of stuff between the 11 and the 4. So please continue to register, be faithful in that, and do cancel if you can't make it, either manually or if that's not working, just immediately email our info email address. Because we have had a couple Sundays where we've had 10 or 15 no-shows, and unfortunately that just means other people can't make it. So continue to do that and be faithful in that. We're also continuing our family worship service at 9 a.m. and then adding this 11 a.m. time because we value kids and we want to prioritize them and provide opportunities for families and kids to worship. So here's a couple of testimonies from the family service, and you might not get to experience much of what goes on in there, but to give you a glimpse of what's happening and will continue to happen in the next 3 months in the family service.
Hi, I'm Erin.
My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Marika, and my family and I attend the family service.
And I attend Oceanside Community Church with my family.
My family and I attend the family service at Oceanside.
So the family service is basically where you can bring your whole family together to church.
You know, families that probably don't get to see each other in a regular service because of numbers of people are there together as families.
Children's message and singing and a time to connect with your family.
Great gathering for families to get together and worship together.
The kids really like it. They like the fun songs. They like, especially when Pastor Thomas or Pastor Ellie do something silly.
My kids love getting to sit at the table and color with us for an hour.
Prayer, singing, a little message.
And then there's also questions to be asked and where the family can get involved.
I love the Faith Five, where you get to talk about highs and lows of the week and pray over your kids.
My girls enjoy the fact that they can color.
You get to worship and hear a message both for kids and parents and do activities with your kids.
We come to the family service because we really value community.
My girls are 8 and 11. I think it's a good age for them to be attending the family service.
I've actually found it really life-giving to be able to be with my family for the whole service.
It's really refreshing to see other families.
There's a lot of relatable content for children. There's still. However, we can be together as a family, and the content is quite relatable as well for the adults.
As a parent, just really enjoying that worshiping and discipling together as a family, it's just really great for that.
It's a lot of fun, lots of activities. You still do communion together as a family at your table, which is nice.
Feels very safe, it's clean, it's well organized.
You can really engage in worship as a parent.
It's an opportunity for us to engage with each other.
It's a way to remind ourselves and our kids of what's really important.
I'm not a big fan of wearing a mask when singing.
I have found I've really been able to engage in worship too.
The importance of being together as family in Christ supersedes any mask wearing.
Gathering together, it says in Hebrews, don't stop gathering together, and it's a way to safely do that.
Even if maybe it's not what you think is your ideal way to come to church, just come give it a try, and you might find that you really enjoy it.
I found it to be a great adaptation to regular services.
I just encourage you to come and try. It's a great way to just be able to be at church again.
So that's how we're persevering to continue to engage families and young kids. And again, this is a video. It'll be on the homepage of our website as well as on our other platforms that you could send to other families or people that you're looking to engage in church. But so parents, grandparents, guardians, would you consider, you know, kind of making that sacrifice for the sake of our next generation by prioritizing the family worship service with your kids? And I encourage all of you, even if you don't have kids, to at least just come once and check it out. Thomas and Ellie have openly made that invitation. Some of you have been there, just so you get a sense for what it is. And you see a couple faces that you probably haven't seen in a while, right? Because they've been worshiping at 9 a.m. This whole time. It's just nice to see a few other people. So general worship service, 11 and 4. Family worship service, 9 and 11. That's the plan for the next 3 months, and it will probably then have to change again, more than likely. We'll just have to continue to discern. But the 11 a.m. services are simultaneous, and we're permitted to do so as long as we keep them completely separate. So the best way to think of it, because this will impact the 11 a.m. here, is as two completely separate buildings. There'll be a divider down the lobby, and then there also will be a divider, because you have to have a washroom in each building, a divider here, and so there'll just be one person or one family at a time. So this 11 a.m. would be using the men's washroom there. But of course, we're keeping our services under an hour, so washroom use has been minimal, and we're not drinking coffee before service. So we've seen a major decrease in washroom use, but they're also cleaned between every service and all the services as well. So, you know, that's what's happening. All the same safety measures will remain in place. We're not changing any of that. We're going to continue to do that. And honestly, I think, you know, attending church here in general is about as safe or safer than other things we do in public right now. And we're appropriately cautious, I think, without sacrificing the need for corporate worship and its priority in our lives. You know, but listen, there's, of course, always some risk. I mean, we can't promise no risk any more than any other place can promise that in the community. And no doubt there will be some, you know, spike in cases in the fall and in the winter. But at a time where, you know, isolation is causing a spike in suicide, in family violence, and mental health issues, when socialization problems and patterns are emerging rapidly due to COVID, where family burnout and crisis fatigue are real problems, we won't sit by and just simply produce videos for people at home while this happens. People need people. They need connection, especially spiritual. And so we will persevere in corporate worship and prioritize it, even though we understand there is some risk involved. But we will continue, live streaming online at 11 a.m. because we understand also the times we're in and will be in. So if you're sick or feeling sick, we want you to be able to just easily make that call to stay home, knowing you can participate online. Or if you have to isolate for any reason, you don't have to miss the service, and you could still stay connected like you are right now. Hello. Or if services continue to fill up, like this morning's is at its limits, although we hope adding an extra family service will help that a little bit, but then you can still worship with us. So we do it online for those legitimate reasons, with the caution that, you know, we don't want to create consumer worshipers or pick up consumer habits when it comes to church worship. I realize, you know, in so many things in life right now, we kind of ask ourselves the question, how can I do this without leaving home? Right? Not because necessarily we're even scared, just because it's so much mental energy to do things right now. There are just so many hurdles involved in getting out and doing something and going somewhere. But we don't want to apply that consumer thinking to church or to worship. And, you know, just last week, the unique way the Spirit was working among us in all the services, really, and speaking to us, and the sense of unity was just a reminder of just how special it is to be together, and that just couldn't happen in any other way or format, really. So, you know, it just all comes down to where corporate worship ranks on our list of priorities, that if we're willing to return to some of these other things in life, whether it be, you know, vacationing or casual browsing, shopping, or whatever it might be, and we're not willing to return to corporate worship, which is, you know, equally or more safe, what does that say about our priorities? And worship, according to the Bible, is an essential activity for our soul. So let's continue to persevere. And then let's also, as we celebrated in the video, continue persevering and serving one another in our community. As the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 11 says in verse 7, love is that love always perseveres. And for those of you at Jean's memorial a little while back, and you saw her in the video, it was just so inspiring, an amazing reminder of just the church being the church. How so many people in the church were involved in one person's life, and how that created such a special sense of community. And that just doesn't happen if we're not gathering together as a church, knowing each other's needs and connecting people with each other. So we want to persevere in serving each other in love. And I know it's a tricky time to kind of step out and even to volunteer and to do things, and we get that. But we do still need people in different areas. Some have started volunteering in the family service who don't have kids, but to serve what's going on there as greeters or running the PowerPoint, then that's awesome. We still need musicians because it's just a little harder right now to get everybody involved. Sound and PowerPoint people will be needed as we move the 4 p.m. in here. So there are ways to do that. One thing we'll be adding or trying out as we move into October is re-engaging, being able to pray for people in our corporate worship service. So at the end of the service, we'll have opportunity. We'll have plastic chairs set up here so they can be wiped down between the services, and they'll be appropriately distanced. But we do want to offer the opportunity once again to receive prayer before you go from a prayer worker in distance. So we'll need our prayer workers to step up again in doing that. We'll also continue serving and loving one another in our life groups, which are continuing and relaunching even as they're reimagined for these times. So we plan to have 7 groups going forward, including a new men's and women's life group. And some groups will meet in the church, some in home. It just depends on the physical distancing situations each host home can accommodate. But the groups will meet soon in October, so make sure you contact Lydia if you want to persevere with a small group through this time. And then we'll continue to serve our local community and families in need in many ways, including our Arrington Breakfast Program, which you've heard about. And we'll be providing a nutritious breakfast for 20 children every single day for the rest of the year in situations where they would maybe not get a healthy breakfast otherwise. And the breakfast will be prepared here at the church on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then delivered to the school, and then it will be ready every morning, Monday through Friday. And this is actually quite an increased expense over what we've done in the past in just the bagel breakfast, and it's 100% expense by the church, and then we're partnering with Manna Homeless Society for some of it as well to make it possible. And we're running a fundraiser on October 31st, a Healthy Habits workshop to help fund that as well. So we'll also be providing these Thanksgiving hampers, as you heard, to families in need, and that'll be delivered to each home the Thursday before Thanksgiving. And you can sign up for that online, and it's sent out in your newsletter. And in these uncertain times where there are just a lot of changes and things can be unpredictable, please do, if you're not signed up for the newsletter, just because that allows us to communicate in a way that everyone has pretty much access to in a quick way if we do need to suddenly change things or shift things, or so that you know what's going on. So we are persevering onwards, serving God, each other, and our community. So let's continue to thrive, showing our community how important our public worship is and how essential the church is in our community by persevering together. So the band's going to come up. And can I just say, I love being on this journey with you, with our staff, the opportunity to be God's children together, a people who can respond together to the challenges before us as the Spirit creatively leads us. And for better or for worse, I'm always going to remember this time, and especially remember those who came along on the journey with us. We're willing to, try new things and take some risks and persevere for the sake of Christ's gospel and his church. So let's pray and sing, as we started in the first song, that God's kingdom would come, that he would build his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, particularly in this Oceanside area that he's called us to. So if you'd like to join us, you can sing and put your mask on, and let's just pray this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray through song, and then Lydia will close us with a benediction.